We're holding Chafei Amud Beis by the Mishnah, the last line. And the Mishnah says, "B'chur shenafal labur." If a b'chur falls into a pit. Now, as long as the b'chur is a tam, then you're not allowed to shecht it outside the Bais Mikdash. In fact, Rashi says a person does is chayv kares. You have to wait till it develops a mum, and only then you can shecht it. So when it develops a mum, then it's like any other animal, then you'd be able to shecht it. But here the problem is that it fell into a pit, and you're afraid it's going to die there, so you want to have somebody check whether it has a mum. So Rashi explains that we have to be talking about, we can't be talking about, as we're going to go through the Mishnah and the Gemara, we'll see, that it can't be that we're talking about that before it fell and didn't have a mum at all, then for sure it would be mukta and there's nothing to talk about. What we mean is, rather, Rashi learned that there was a mum in it, but you didn't have a chance to show it to a chacham before Yom Tov to find out whether it's mutter or not. Now, on Yom Tov, it fell into a pit, so now you want the chacham to check the mum that it had from before and find out whether it's a mum kavur. That's according to Rashi. And then we're going to have different opinions whether you're allowed to or not, depending on that. Tosfos disagrees with that on a couple of grounds. And they say that actually, they agree on the basic idea that we are talking about it had a mum before, but they disagree with Rashi about what exactly the machloekah says about what to do with the animal. Rashi, by the way, also mentions the point that this is talking about b'chor b'zman hazeh, when there's no Bais Mikdash to bring it up to the korban. Actually, the Shita Mekubetzes points out, really, that there's no difference. I mean, the same din would apply when the Bais Mikdash was standing, because the same thing, you can't, the only thing you can do with a b'chor tam is bring it to the korban. And if you're nowhere near Yerushalayim, you're not going to be able to bring it to the korban on Yom Tov anyway. But he says that maybe, in fact, Rashi says that if it's Zman Hazeh, in order to stress the point, you shouldn't think that maybe this din applies only when the Bais Mikdash is standing. No, it applies equally well now. Anyway, so this b'chor fell into a pit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yered Mumcha V'yira. So Rabbi Yehuda says you send down a Mumcha. A Mumcha can go down, somebody who's expert at checking Mumim and can determine whether this is a Mum Kavua. V'yira, and let him check it out. Im yesh by mum, if the animal has a mum, meaning a mum kavua, yala v'yishchot, then you can bring it up and shecht it. V'im lav lo yishchot, if not, then you can't shecht it. Reb Shimon, now we're going to see in the Gemara, I mean, so of course you can't shecht it, it's still tam. Reb Shimon, kol she'en mumen nikum v'od yom, on the other hand, Reb Shimon says, if you didn't recognize the mum beforehand, you didn't see before Yom Tov, that is in the morning, that it's a mum kavua, ein zemina mochan, then it's not something prepared, then in other words, so you can't use it on Yom Tov. So Rashi learns like this. Again, Rashi learns that this animal had a mum before Yom Tov, you just didn't have a chacham, you didn't have a chance to have a chacham check it out. So now, it fell into this pit on Yom Tov, so let the chacham go and check, says Rabbi Huda, whether the mum that it had before Yom Tov is in fact a mum kavua or not. If so, then you can bring up the animal. Now, and Rashi adds then that according to Rabbi Huda, there would be no problem of mukta in it, because since it had a mum from before, he already had it in mind that he might be able to shecht it. Now, how would he if it's only a mum over? There's a few different explanations on it. One of them is because a mum over very commonly will become a mum kavua, so he had a reasonable expectation that should happen. Another possibility is he not being a mumcha, the owner, he taka doesn't know the difference between a mum kavua and a mum over, so he might well think that this was a mum kavua and figure on that basis that he's going to be able to shecht it on Yom Tov. So therefore he has that in mind before Yom Tov. There is also an explanation that Tzlach gives that once the chacham determines that it is a mum kavua and you're allowed to shecht it, we had a case in the first parak of the Masechta where you have an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. As we know, you're not allowed to eat it on Yom Tov. And we also had a case over there where the egg has a chick inside it where you can't yet eat it on Yom Tov, because as long as it's in the shell, as long as it's inside the shell anyway, it's still considered sheretz ha'oif. But we said if it actually hatched out of the egg on Yom Tov, then once we had an opinion of Shmuel over there that the fact that it's already mutter, the fact that now the isser of it being inside the shell went away, therefore the isser of muktan it also goes away. You'd be able to shecht it. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda might be going over here according to the same svara that once the isser of shechting it bachutz, because it's not a bachur, but now it's a bachur ba'amum. Once that isser goes away, then so does the isser of muktan. Anyway, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then continues Rashi, according to Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand. This is Yom Yom Tov. We're talking about Yom Tov.
Whoa.
So the case was that a Bechor fell into a pit, and you know, you need to find out whether it has a mum or not in order to be able to shecht it.
But don't you have to find that out even if it's not Yom Tov?
Well, right. But the point is, if it was on a weekday, there'd be no problem. Haul it out of the pit, have the mum come take a look, and that's that. Right. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon says that it's ein zeh min ha-muchan, meaning Rashi says it's not a matter of mukta because Rabbi Shimon doesn't really hold of the broad category of mukta as we talked about before. Rather, what it is that you're being matir on Yom Tov, so it looks like you're fixing it. And also, Rashi says, actually, in all of your service of Rashi just continues saying, the Havalik didn't, to Dun Din, it's like judging a Din Torah, but actually the Maharam explains that those are actually two separate explanations. In Rashi, one is because it looks like he's Misakin, and the other one is because it looks like he's judging a Din Torah. So therefore, in other words, Ein Zemina Mochan means, in other words, his Heter, the fact that he says this is a Mum Kavua, says Reb Shimon is not good enough to be able to be matirit, to be eaten on Yom Tov. So again, Tosfos discusses this a little bit. So that's the thing. So part of the question is that if Shimon usually is meiko on dinim mukta, that is why Rashi is saying that ein zemen amuchan does not mean it's mukta, because if that was the case, Reb Shimon wouldn't have a problem with it. Rather, it's Reb Shimon is saying, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, that you're not allowed to look at mumim on Yom Tov, either because, again, when the Chacham paskins that it's mutter, then it amounts to being a sack in it before it wasn't usable, and now it is, or because it's like done din. The Truma Sadeshin, by the way, points out, now on the face of it, anytime you have a Shaila, don't you have the same question? Does that mean you're not allowed to ask a Shaila to a Rav on Yom Tov? Let's say you had milk fell into a fleshic pot or whatever, and you're going to go to a Rav to ask what the din is of Batal B'Shishim or whatever. You're going to say you're going to have that problem. And he says no. In fact, the Gemara itself, later on, Daf Chav Zayin, talks about a distinction between something where you're doing basically Gili Milsa Ba'alma versus something where your psak actually makes it, actually changes its status. Until the Chacham says that the Bechor has a mum, it still has the status of a Bechor that you're not allowed to shecht outside the Beis Mikdash. Once he says that, then it changes its status, as opposed to, let's say, you have a Shaila in Basa B'Cholov or whatever, the Rav is really just revealing what was there all along, that it was mutter, that it is also.
Right, maybe you could have known that.
Maybe
you could never know
because you yourself have to be a mumcha, right? In fact, there is a nat connection, by the way. There is a nat connection. So now, again, Rashi is bringing two reasons over here why you're not allowed to on Yom Tov. One is because of the sakin, and the other is because of dun din. So now there's a Magid Mishnah on the Rambam that discusses this issue and talks about the idea that to do that or any other shaila that would involve a rov might be an issue. The primary issue would be misakin, and therefore you have to get into the question: what happens if in fact the kind of thing where if the rov paskins it's also, then it's going to be mukta. And based on that, the Taz goes into a long arichus about this whole question of things that you allowed and not allowed to ask the Rav on Yom Tov, where the situation is. Let's say it's a matter of Basa B'Cholov, since it's also Bahana, then it would be also, let's say, if it was a matter of Trefus, let's say it's not also Bahana, you could still feed it to an animal, so therefore it's not necessarily Mukta. But if it was Basa B'Cholov, let's say, then it would be. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe brings in a Punter Sachrin. He says, briefly, I'm not even bothering to bring that whole thing that the Taz discusses, because that's only according to the Magen Avraham. That's only according to the Magen Mishnah's Shita about this matter of showing a Bechor to a Chacham. Whereas according to Rashi over here that we're mentioning about that it's like Dun Din, then therefore it doesn't really matter whether we're talking about something that could end up being Mukta or not. Either way, again, like it's similar to what the Truma Sadeshan says, when it's a matter of Juli Nilsa Alma, then we don't care whether it's something that might end up being Muktzah or not. Anyway, getting back to, suppose...
So what the author of it said
So what the author of it is saying is that normally you're allowed to ask the Shaila to a Rav
anytime,
even on Yom Tov, unless it's like, right.
And the only thing that's like done then
is a Bechor.
Mum on a Bechor.
That's what
it's saying. Or maybe taking someone in the base then actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Tosfos disagrees with a number of points of Rashi's explanation. And they say that no, when Reb Shimon says Ein Zman HaMuchan, he does mean, he is talking about the concept of Muchan. What he means is, in other words, so again, the Machloikas, there's a double Machloikas. Number one, as the Gemara is going to say, all is a Chacham allowed to look at a Mum on Yom Tov? And also, they are arguing about, the matter of Muktzah. It's true that usually Reb Shimon is Makel compared to Reb Yehuda. On the other hand, he figures like this. Reb Yehuda takes the view, since Roy and Mum in the Yom Tov, and you know, therefore, from yesterday that it had a Mum Kavua, or at least you had a reasonable supposition that it was going to end up being determined to be a Mum Kavua, so you already had your das on it from yesterday. Reb Shimon holds Ein Roy and Mum, so therefore, even B'diyevet, if the Chacham checked it, nevertheless, it still remains Muktzah. Because as the Gemara is going to say, there are cases where Reb Shimon does agree on the concept of Muktzah. And this would be one of those cases, Tosfos says. Okay.
No, I totally miss what you said.
Okay, so Reb Yehuda, according to Tosfos, so according to Rashi, it's not even a matter of Muktzah at all. Reb Yehuda holds that you have your das on it from yesterday. Reb Shimon holds, since you're not allowed to look at it on Yom Tov, then it doesn't matter. Even if he did, it still remains also on that ground. Nothing to do with Muktzah. Tosfos says there is an issue of Muktzah involved. There is also an issue of whether you're allowed to see Mumin on Yom Tov. Reb Yehuda holds you're allowed to, therefore your das is on it. On the other hand, Reb Shimon says you're not allowed to see Mumin, therefore your das was not on it, and therefore even B'diyevet, if he went and checked it, nevertheless it's going to remain also because of the fact that it was Muktzah at the beginning of Yom Tov, because you didn't have your das on it,
right.
Knowing, according to Reb Shimon, that the Chacham is not going to be allowed to check it on Yom Tov.
Even though Reb Shimon is Mako and Muktzah, but he holds that this is Muktzah.
But he holds that this is one of those cases, exactly. So the question is, but my commitment, what is the underlying machloikas between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon? E name a Beroyan Mumin community, if you're going to say just that their machloikas is whether a Chacham is allowed to see Mumin on Yom Tov. Did Reb Yehuda sava Royan Mumin be Yom Tov? Did Reb Shimon sava in Royan Mumin be Yom Tov? If that's the whole machloikas, for literally go Beroyan Mumin to Alma, then in that case, why do we need the case where Bechor fell into a pit? Just say straight out, a Bechor, Reb Yehuda says you're allowed to check it for a Mum on Yom Tov, and Reb Shimon says you're not allowed to. Why have the scenario where it fell into a pit? The answer is, Bechor shenafel l'berich tzrichalei. The answer is, there is a chidush in saying that it fell into a pit. You would think it's a matter of tzar b'alachayim, four animals suffering in there, le'erim v'laske k'rab Yeshua. Maybe you should be able to do a ha'roma and take it out, like what Rabbi Yeshua said. So Rabbi Yeshua tells us in the last parak of our Masechta, you have a case. What happens if Oseves B'noi fell into a pit? A mother animal and a baby animal both fall into a pit. And we know, Oseves B'noi lo yishchatu b'yemechad. So what do? So you're not going to be able to take them both out in order to shech them, because one of them you're going to be able to shech, but the other one not. But Rabbi Yeshua says, what you can do is you can do a ha'roma. You take out the first one, and you're saying, I have in mind to shech it. So fine, you're allowed to take it out for the purpose of shechting it. Then once it's out, you say, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want to shech this one. I'd rather shech the other one. And then you pull out the other one also, and then you shech whichever one you want. So you would think maybe over here you could do a ha'roma as well. Saying, in other words, there's an excellent chance that it has a mum kavua, and therefore I should be able to take it out, and I plan to shech it. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah wants us to know that no, you can't do that. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying really that the mumcha can go down into the pit, but you can't bring it out before the mum, you can't bring it out and have the mumcha check it on the ground. So in other words, Rabbeinu Hananel says that the Mishnah could have just said lo yala rather than lo yishchot, but like this, the Mishnah is telling us two things in one, kind of. It's telling us you shouldn't bring it out, don't use the haroma like Rabbi Yeshua said, and also, even if you brought it out, you're not allowed to shecht it. Because it doesn't have a mum kavua, or because before Yom Tov it wasn't known to have a mum kavua. So the question is, yihochi lo yishchot, then why is the Mishnah using the expression he shouldn't shecht it? Lo yala be yishchot mitboile, it should say you shouldn't bring it out and shecht it. Because that's the main point of it here, don't bring it out. The answer is, lo yitzricha de ova va'aske. You're right, the point of the Mishnah is, even if he was over and took it out, so in other words, when the Mishnah says yered, the yira, that the mumcha should go down there and see, that itself implies that you shouldn't take it out l'chatzila. Then it's saying that even b'di'evit, he took it out and found a mum, lo yishchot, then he's not so d'ovav aske. Stop that d'chamina, l'shchate. You would think at that point, once you already took it out, b'di'evit, maybe you should be allowed to shecht it. Kamash mulan, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us by lo yishchot, even in that case, you shouldn't shecht it. What do you mean? In that case, if you bring it out and you don't find that it has a mum, you'd be able to shech. You would think you could shech it, and the Mishnah has to tell you not. Of course, you can't shech it. Hatamhu. If you find that the animal is a tam, then you're not allowed to shech it outside the Beis Mikdash. The answer is loitzricha de nochel be mumma. The answer is the case is that now there's a mum in it. So in other words, when we say im yesh by mum, means if the chacham found going down into the pit that the mum that it had before Yom Tov was already a mum kavua. But now if he finds that only what developed now is a mum kavua, right, then lo yishchot, then you're not allowed to. So the question is, well, of course, v'ha muktahu, of course it's mukta. We know Rabbi Yehuda holds of the broader concept of mukta. And he's the one who's maker on our Mishnah, so surely he's not going to say that if a mum developed on Yom Tov, you should be allowed to shecht. So we're still back to, why does the Mishnah need to tell us the im lav lo yishchot, when it's obvious, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if now we're saying that the im yesh bo mum yalav yishchot, the im lav lo yishchot, im lav, im yesh bo mum means if it had a mum before Yom Tov, and im lav means if it did not have a mum before Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda, we don't need the Mishnah to be telling us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be allowed to shecht in that case. Rather, the situation is it had a temporary mum before Yom Tov, v'hash to have a mum kavua. Now, on Yom Tov, it's a mum kavua. So it could be if the same mum developed further and now became a mum kavua. You even have, for example, there is a certain case that it describes in Bechoris involving certain eye diseases that the animal may have, where it takes 80 days to establish that it's a mum kavua. So imagine, for example, that the 80th day comes out on Yom Tov itself. So now, on Erev Yom Tov, it wasn't yet a mum kavua, because it was only the 79th day, now comes the 80th day. So now, Ma'ud attained the daita ilavei, you would think then that maybe he had his das on it, v'nishchate, therefore you should be able to shecht it, kamash mulan, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, if it wasn't kavua before Yom Tov, then the fact is it is mukta. So Rashi actually gives two reasons why it should be also to shecht it. One is because it was mukta machmas isur, because before Yom Tov it was still osur. And the other reason is because you were over and took it out of the pit when you weren't supposed to. Okay. So that's that. So that's what the Mishnah means then, in short. So we mean that if it had a mum kavua before Yom Tov, then you would be allowed to take it out and shecht it. If it didn't have a mum at all, then of course you're not allowed to. There's no chiddush. Even if it had a mum over, and if the mumcha then goes down into the pit, discovers that what it had before Yom Tov is in fact a mum kavua, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you to take it out and shecht it, otherwise not. And Rabbi Shimon says, even in that case, not. Again, according to Rashi, because the mumcha is not supposed to be checking it on Yom Tov, according to Tosfos, that plus the fact that he's not supposed to be checking on Yom Tov itself renders it mukta, even if he was over and did check it. Okay. The Gemara says, Tonan Abanan, b'chur tam shenochal labur. Suppose that a b'chur tam falls into a bur. Now, Rashi had explained that the b'chur of our Mishnah already had a mum that just it was a just a, we weren't sure whether it was a mum, we weren't sure whether it was a mum kavua or mum oiver. And now we're talking about a tam. So Rashi actually has a long discussion over here that there are two possible gersois over here. One is that we are talking about Bechor Tam, which is the gersa that we have in front of us. And the other one, Rashi says, is maybe the gersa, maybe the correct gersa in the Braisa is without the word Tam, and therefore it's exactly the case of, on Mishnah. So let's learn it the two ways then. So first, Bechor Tam Shenofalabur. So now, if it fell into the pit as a tam. So now, the point is, though, that Rashi explains, according to this Girsa, both Tanoim in this Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, are going to hold that he does have a das on it before Yom Tov, that he expects it at some point to develop a mum.
This is interesting.
That's why the Mishnah calls him Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, rather in order to distinguish him from Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Right. So Rashi's first explanation, according to the Girsa, Bechor Tam Shnafal Labur, is even, now unlike in our Mishnah, where both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are taking the view that at least it needs to have had a mum before Yom Tov to even talk about the possibility of it not being Mukta, and Rabbi Yehuda says if it had some kind of mum, then you can send down the chacham to check. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that you can't. But that's talking about where it already had some kind of mum. Here we'd be talking about it doesn't even. It's completely tam. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Shimon Menasi and Arbraisa are going to be saying that it's not mukta because he had in mind before Yom Tov that it might develop a mum. Rashi's second explanation, again, is that we take out the word tam from the braisa, and therefore it's the same scenario as our Mishnah. So therefore, in other words, it comes out according to that, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would be holding exactly like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, and then Rabbi Shimon Menasseh would be saying something similar to what Rabbi Shimon is saying. Bechor tam shenafal labur, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Yomer, Yered Mumcha V'Yira, let the Mumcha go down and see. Im yesh be mum, if the animal has a mum, yalav yishchot, then he can bring up the animal and shecht it. Beim lav lo yishchot, and if not, then he can't shecht it. So again, if we say that it was Bechor tam, then it means that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is saying that even though it didn't have even though it was tam before Yom Tov began, nevertheless he doesn't hold of mukta. So therefore, I feel enough by a yoyim. Even if the mum developed today, he'd be allowed to shecht it. But if not, if he brought it up without a mum, then he shouldn't shecht it. Even if after he brought it up, it developed a mum, then he still is not allowed to shecht it. And Rashi gives, again, a couple of explanations on that. One is we cancel him at that point because he brought it up when he wasn't supposed to, because the mumcha said it doesn't have a mum. Also, Rashi says that it means, when we say lo yishchot, obviously you can't shecht it at the tam. It means, in other words, you're not allowed to do a harama, like we said before. Yeah, but maybe it has a mum, and therefore let me bring it up. You can't do that. Rashi explains. Now, why didn't we answer the Mishnah that way? Why don't we give a similar explanation on the Mishnah? The reason is because our Mishnah necessarily cannot be talking about a tam, because then you'd have to explain Rabbi Yehuda's shita. How could Rabbi Yehuda say in yesh be mum yalav yishchot if before Yom Tov it had no mum, and Rabbi Yehuda holds of the concept of mukta? In the Braisa, rather, we can say that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi doesn't hold of that concept of mukta. He holds more like Rabbi Shimon, therefore he would allow you to take it out even if it's tam. Again, that's the first explanation in Rashi. The second explanation is that the scenario in the Braisa is exactly the same as the Mishnah. It had a mum. We didn't know whether it's a mum kavua or not. So now if we discover a mum that we know didn't take place on Yom Tov, then Yalav Yishchot. And if not, if it looks like a mum that developed only today, then we would say that you're not allowed to shecht it. And now the point is, when we said that on the Mishnah, we said, isn't that poshut? And we explain why it's not so poshut, because you would have thought tzar ba'al chayim or whatever. here in this braisa, if you take out the word tam, that's not necessary, because without this braisa, we wouldn't know what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi himself holds as far as mukta. Now, if we understand it that way, then we understand that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is saying the same as Rabbi Yehuda. There is a broader concept of mukta. Anyway, that's Rebbe. Amaloi Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, but Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says to Rebbe, Harei Omru Ein Royin Mumin B'Yamdiv. What do you mean you can have the Chacham check it on Yamdiv? They said, the Chachamim of the generations before us, said that you're not allowed to check up for a Mum on Yamdiv. Namely, specifically, Rashi says we're talking about Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon being Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy, not Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya over here. Rebbe himself was a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoy. So how can you, Rebbe, how can you, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, say that we can send down a mumchah to check when, according to your own Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon, you're not allowed to? Ketzad. Rebbe was a Talmud among others by Rabbi Shimon. Rashi refers to a Gemara over here, to Gemara in Shabbos and in Erevin, where Rebbe mentions things that happened while he was a Talmud by Rabbi Shimon. He wasn't only, he was a Talmud of many of the, one of the reasons why Rebbe was particularly the one to compose the Mishnah is because, unlike many of the other Chachamim of his generation, he had learned by as many as possible of the Chachamim of the previous generation. By Rabbi Shimon, we see over here, we find he learned by Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. We find he learned a little bit by Rabbi Meir, and he says, I only saw Rabbi Meir from the back, and if I'd seen him from the front, I would have been even wiser. But then you find that he learned.
I only saw Meir from the back. Where is
I don't remember where it is, but I think Meir. Anyway, so there's a number of different chachamim that we find that Rebbe learned from, and that way he was able to learn all the different methods of learning and all the different styles and whatever, and then he used all that when he composed the Mishnah. Anyway, so continues Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, Ketzad. So what do we do? We can't just say, like you're saying, Rebbe, that we have the mumcha check it on Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to do that. Rather, nolad by mum me'erev Yom Tov, ein mevakur noisiv Yom Tov. If the mum developed on Erev Yom Tov, So even though the mum developed on Erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to check it on Yom Tov, but b'diyeved, if you did, then Rashi adds, then you would be allowed to check it, because after all, Bein HaShemashas, it was almost Masukah, and really all that was missing was the Chacham looking at it. So therefore, that's not reason enough to ask it. No, but by mum b'Yom Tov, on the other hand, if the mum developed on Yom Tov itself, Rav Shimon Omer, Ein Zemen HaMuchan, then Rav Shimon says it's not Muchan at all, and therefore, even if you were over, and even if the Chacham was over and checked it, then he shouldn't check it, because that really is Masakin altogether. So not like you're saying, Rebbe, that you can just bring it, that you can have the Mumcha check whether it's a Mumkabu or not. You shouldn't bring it out either way, but the other, if the Mum developed Erev Yom Tov, then fine if you brought it out and checked it, then fine. But the other, okay. The Shavin, now Rabbi Shimon Manasseh continues, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon do, the Chachamim of the generation before us, do both agree, She'im nolad hu umumay imay, that if the animal was born with a mum already, shezem and amuchan, that is considered muchan, because then it didn't have a cheskas iser to begin with. So there's two ways of understanding this braisa, depending on two different yosois. Is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi saying that even if it was tam before it fell in, you'd be allowed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to check it? And Rabbi Shimon Manasseh is telling him that no, because he doesn't hold to the concept of mukta. Or is it that we're talking about a bachor that already had a mum over, and then the bachor, this is essentially the same as in the Mishnah, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Okay. The Gemara continues, Darash Rav Barabuna, Nolad Hu Mumay Imay, if an animal was born with a mum already, mevakrin oisav yom tov lahatchila, then you're allowed to check it on yom tov even lahatchila. So it was born with a mum on yom tov, then you'd be
born on yom tov.
We're talking about it was born on yom tov. The pashas we're talking about it was born. We may be talking about it was born before yom tov, but in other words, it was born with a mum. You didn't have a chance for the chacham to check it before yom tov, so you're allowed to even have the chacham check it lahatchila. Rav Nachman says, how could that be? Abba Tony, my father. The Pashtus would be according to. The Pashtus would be according to Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Shimon, we said, Ein Roin Mumin Biyamta, period. Um, yeah. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he's saying over here that, well, no, because here we're talking about Nerlud Mumma Imai. I don't know, it's not clear which one he's talking according to. Anyway, Omelet Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, Abba Toni, my father taught a braisa in Ovo Vikre Mavukar, if the Dievet, if you were over and checked it for a mum, and it turned out to be a mum kavua, then it's considered checked, and you're allowed to check it. The atamat mavakar noisa lachatchila. You, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, are saying you're allowed to do it lachatchila. My father's braisa says that you're only allowed to do it b'dieved. By the way, who was his father? So you have a couple of places in Shas where Rashi explains that Stam Rav Nachman in the Gemara is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the Talmud of Rava. So according to that, his father would have been named Rav Yitzchak. So in that case, we don't really know. We don't really know.
Later
of Nachman.
He became the Rosh Yeshiva.
He became the Rosh Hashiva. He became one of the Rosh Hashiva after Rava passed away. Yeah. But anyway, so
after Rava.
Yeah, you had yeah. Anyway, so that's according to Rashi. So according to that, his father was named Yitzchak.
Remember, Nachman by Yitzchak. Yitzchak comes before Yaakov. Nachman by Yaakov comes first, even though it's switched.
Anyway, so according to Rashi, then in those places, the father that we're talking about would be Rav Yitzchak. We don't really know a lot about him, but we see over here he taught braises. If we're talking about, on the other hand, Tosfos in those places says that no, Stam Rav Nachman in the Gemara is actually Rav Nachman by Yaakov. So according to that, he was from the previous generation. He was one of the Rabbeim of Rava, so two generations earlier than the other Rav Nachman. In that case, his father, so Rav Nachman, says on himself actually that my father was one of the Sofrei HaDayanim. He mentions in Bava Matiyah that his father was one of the Sofrei HaDayanim of Shmuel's Basin. So he was one of the scribes, one of the recorders of the Beis Din. What we see from Al Gemara over here, he wasn't just a scribe, he also taught braises. Anyway, so what is it? So is it l'chatchila you're allowed to check it, or is it only b'dieved? Omer Abaya, Kavasei, the Rabba Bar Rav Huna Mistabra. It seems logical, says Abaya, to follow Rabba Bar Rav Huna's version and say that you'd be allowed to check it even l'chatchila if it was born with a mum. Midkatani, tloss a bobby. Because we have a braisa that we quoted before involving Rav Shimon Menasya that has three different cases. Nolad by mum me'erav yomtev ein mevakanos v'yomtev. We said if the mum developed erav yomtev, you're not allowed to check it on yomtev, but ein mevakan implies v'chilo hu deloy ha d'yevet shapudam, implying that v'yevet, if you did, it would be fine. The second case was nolad by mum me'yomtev. If the mum developed on Yom Tov, Rav Shimon Omer Ein Zeh Minan Muchan, then Rav Shimon says you're not allowed to shecht it because not muchan, implying dafkei d'yeved nami loy. It means that you're not even allowed to check it b'dieved because Ein Zeh Minan Muchan implies that even b'dieved you're not allowed to use it because it wasn't muchan. Also, Rashi says the very fact that it's divided into two cases implies that one is lachatchila and one is b'dieved. Then the braisa continues with the third case, the shavin, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree, shem no little muma ima, that if it was born with a mum already, shazemin amuchan, that it's muchan, and that would have to be dafkei l'chatchila nami. So therefore, so the fact that the braisa splits them into three cases, and one is b'dieved, and the other is even b'dieved not, so what would the third be? Obviously, it must be l'chatchila. Therefore, more logical to accept that over Rabbi Nachman's father's braisa. The problem with that is, v'ha'ki osir of Oshia, when Rav Oshia came from Eretz Yisrael, osir of Aisim, from a different yeshiva, whatever, osir of Aisim, asnisa b'yode, he came and he brought with him a braisa that he brought with him a braisa that the Chachamim didn't know of before. Bein shenodet b'mum b'erev yamdev, or bein shenodet b'mum b'yamdev, Chachamim ma'amim ein zamin amochan. Whether the mum developed erev yamdev or on yamdev, either way the Chachamim say it's ein zamin amochan. Now that would be according to Reb Shimon, who says ein royin mumon. So unlike the previous braisa that had three different sections, and one was b'dieved only, and the other is not even b'dieved, and the other one was saying by implication must be l'chatchila, here we have a thing that combines, here we have a braisa that combines those two together, and says that either way, ein zeh min hamuchan, and Rav Shimon is not going to allow you to check it on Yom Tov. So the Ela Kasha Hach. Okay, so the problem is then in that case you still have the problem that we have a braisa before that says differently. The answer is hahi odaba uchmihi de mishabish vitani. That previous braisa was taught by Ada Bar Uchmi, who was known to mix up braisas. The Chacham Rashi says that they knew that he was Gerdes Mishnayas Meshakeach Meshabjim. He would learn Mishnayas and braisas, but then he would forget and mix up things in them. So therefore, so in other words, that's not an accurate braisa. That's not an accurate. It's not a reliable source that you can base yourself on. Whereas Reb Oshia's braisa is.
It's more reliable than any source in
your time
test, but
it's still not. Yeah, no, okay. Amr of Nachman Yitzchok, Nisin Nami Deka. So Nachman says, in fact, you can see from our Mishnah as well, like what Rav Oshi is saying, and not like what Adaba Uchma's Braisa is saying. Dechatani, because the Mishnah had said, Rav Shimon, I'm a kol she'en mum in nikum erev yamtiv, if the mum is not recognizable as a mum kavua before yamtiv, ein zem en amochan, then it's not mochan, and therefore you can't shecht it and eat it. Now, my ein mumay nicker. So Rav Nachman says we have to consider, what does the word ein mumay nicker mean? Ilemisha ein mumay nicker klal. Do you mean literally that the mum was not visible beforehand, that on Erev Yom Tov it had no mum at all? Pshita. Sricha lemema. Then obviously, according to Rav Yehuda, you can't shecht it. What's the chiddush? And then certainly according to Rav Shimon, especially if he says ein roi ein mumay b'yom tov, then of course you wouldn't be able to. Ela jalei schazi l'chacham Erev Yom Tov. Evidently, kol she'en mumen nikker, that Rav Shimon is saying, means if it was not shown to the Chacham before Yom Tov, im mum kavua, im mum oiver, whether it was a mum kavua or a mum oiver, katani mias ein zemen amuchan, either way, it's saying that ein zemen amuchan, and meaning even b'di'evin. So in other words, Rashi explains, when we say tzricha l'meimar, the pshita tzricha l'meimar sounds like a double lashon, but Rashi says, no, pshita means it's obvious. Tzricha l'meimar means, would Rav Shimon have to say that to Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda himself holds of the concept of mukta. So once Rav Shimon says that, fine, Rav Yehuda will say royin mum in Yom Tov, but still, obviously, Rav Yehuda will agree in this case where it didn't even have a mum before Yom Tov, it's going to be mukta, and therefore Rav Shimon doesn't even need to use the word ein zemen amochan. All he has to say is, look, both of us are going to agree that it's mukta because because ein royin mum in Yom Tov, and you, because even though you hold the royin mum in Yom Tov, but you didn't have your das on it at all before Yom Tov because it didn't even have a mum over. So it wouldn't be necessary. Ela delay schazi l'chacham erev Yom Tov. So evidently the case is it had a mum before Yom Tov, but it wasn't shown to the Chacham, im mum kavua, im mum over, which one it was, a mum kavua or a mum over, and katani mias ein zemen amochan. And the bottom line is Rav Shimon says ein zemen amochan, meaning even b'di'evin. So even though it had a mum before Yom Tov, so now is the machlokes. Rav Yehuda is going to say because it had a mum before Yom Tov, already you had your das on it. Since Rav Yehuda holds royin mum in the Yom Tov, then according to him, there's a good possibility that you're going to be able to eat this animal on Yom Tov. Whereas according to Rav Shimon, not, because he says ein royin mum in the Yom Tov, and therefore he's saying ein zemen amochan, even b'di'evin. So now, going back to when we have, now we did have the case in the Braisa of Nolad Hu Momoy Imoy, now that we're saying that Braisa with the three cases is mistaken and that Rav Oshia's version of the Braisa is correct, then it comes out, you only have two possibilities. You have one where the mum developed on Erev Yom Tov or Yom Tov, where either way Rav Shimon is going to say it's also to see the mum at all on Yom Tov, and therefore even the yed of the animal is going to be also, versus Nolad Hu Mum or Imoy, which is going to be not like a tchilo you could check it, like a bayah was saying, like Rabbi Bar Avona was saying, but rather only the b'di'evad, like Rav Nachman's father's braisa says. Okay. New topic. Which is going to relate back to what we just said. Boy mine Hillel me Rava. Hillel asks Rava the following question. Now, obviously, this isn't Hillel as in the Chavra of Shammai. This is a later Amorah named Hillel. We find him in one or two other places in Shas. He was a Talmud of Rava. Anyway, so he asks Rava, although Hagolis Abach changes it to Boy mine Rav Hillel me Rava. So according to him, he had a title, Rav Hillel, and he was a Talmud, not of Rava, but rather of Rava. Either way, we're talking about the same one. Yeah, anyway. So he asks, Yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, or ein mukta l'chatzi Shabbos? Can something be mukta for only half of Shabbos? So if you have something that's mukta for half of Shabbos, can it become unmukta the second half or the other way around? Tosfos later on points out that the question is not really as far as tiltal. Certainly as far as tiltal, as far as moving it on Shabbos, there's no question in mukta lachatzi Shabbos. Rather, the question is going to be as far as eating it, Tosfos says. Anyway, so the Gemara says, hey, chidomi. Well, what's the scenario? How do you have something that's mukta for only half of Shabbos? Id achsi bein hashmoshes achsi. If it was suitable to use bein hashmoshes, then it's good for the whole rest of Shabbos. Id goloi achsi, loi achsi. And if it wasn't good at bein hashmoshes, then it's not good the rest of Shabbos. The answer is loi tzricha da achsi v'hoder idchi v'hoder achsi. What happens if it was suitable, then it became unsuitable, and then it became suitable again. So in other words, Rashi, by the way, mentions the point over here, the reason why it would be osur if it was mukta ben ashmoshes, because you don't have hachonim of oid yoy. Further on, in the sugya, Rashi brings from Shiltas to Rabbi Choy Goin, that you have to have anything that you're going to use on Shabbos has to be muchon from before Shabbos. And he actually learns it from the posuk, v'hichinu es asher yaviu, which means that Rashi, unlike most Rishonim, holds that this concept of hachona before Shabbos is actually deraisa. Most other Rishonim hold it's only derabana. So what do we mean, de'achzi v'idchu? So let's say, for example, Rashi gives an example as follows. An example of mukta would be, let's say you took figs or grapes to dry them, and we know while they're drying, they're mukta. And even Rav Shimon is going to agree with that, because you were doicha them b'yadayim. You actually took them up there to dry out, and until they dry out, they're not ready, while they're in the process of drying, they're not fit to eat. Therefore, even Rav Shimon is going to agree that that's mukta. So now, what happens? Bein hashmoshes, they were already suitable, they were already dried out, and therefore they would have been suitable to eat. Then, sometime during Shabbos, rain fell on them, and now they became inedible again. Then, later on, they swelled up and became inedible. Later on Shabbos, the sun came out and dried them out, and now they're good again. So now, the fact that for a period of time during Shabbos, they were unavailable, does that make them mukta for the rest of Shabbos? So Robert tells him, yes, in that case, there is a concept of mukta for chatzi Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Eisvei. So Hillel asked Rabba, what do you mean? We had the braisa before that said, V'shoven sheim nogad u'mumah imay, shezemen amuchan. If a baby animal was born, a baby b'chor was born with a mum, then it's already considered muchan, and you're allowed to shechten on yotter. Now, v'amai. Now, why should that be? Neima, shouldn't we say, hai b'chor me'ifra ha'v'chazi agav imay, before it was born, it would have been suitable to eat together with his mother, because if you had shechted the mother and found the baby inside the womb, you would have been allowed to eat it. And the din of Bechor wouldn't apply because it only has Kedushas Bechor only when it actually comes out of the womb. Then when it was born on Yom Tov, so we are talking about it was born on Yom Tov actually. So when it was born on Yom Tov, now it was Nidcha, because now until you show it to a Chacham, then it has a Chazakah of being Osir. And then if you show it to the Chacham on Yom Tov, now it becomes Mutter again. And yet we're saying it's Mutter. So that shows that Ein Mukta Lachatzi Shabbos. Omer Abaya v'Tamen of Safra. So Abaya, or some say, of Safra answered, the case is not where there was a period of time where it had a Cheskas Isser, Kigundi Yasvi Dayoni Hosam. What if the Dayonim are sitting right there when the animal is born? So as soon as it comes out of the womb, they right away see the mum, and therefore it never became mukta in the first place. So it could be, the Braisa is talking about that. And lo shchiyah, but it could happen, and nevertheless, so the Braisa is telling us that in that case, yeah. So that doesn't show that necessarily, ein mukta, that doesn't show necessarily that yesh mukta, lachatzi Shabbos, because in that case, there's no mukta at all.
Did we learn that Chacham and not supposed to sit together to Paschal on Yom Tov on Shabbos?
Well, right. We're not saying they should, especially according to the Shimon, Ein Royin Mumin B'Yomtiv. But we're talking about over here, suppose it happened. It so happened that you had a bunch of Chachamim on your farm for Shabbos, and they watched the Behemoth of Akeres giving birth, and they happened to notice right away that this Bechor has a Mum. So they didn't sit there specifically for that purpose, but right away, in other words, it never had a Cheskas Isser because right away they saw that it was born that way. Okay, the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, wait, no, I skipped a couple of lines. Okay, so that's one version of the discussion between Hillel and Rava, that Rava says, yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, and we can't disprove it from that case, because it could be talking about where the Dayanim are sitting over there. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion, goes the other way around. Amalei ein mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. The second version is that Rava told Hillel, ein mukta l'chatzi Shabbos. If it were, if you had, as long as it was Roy Bein HaShmoshes, even though later on it became not Roy, the fact when it becomes Roy again, it will be good. So in the case of the fruit that we said before, for example, once it dries out, you will be able to eat it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, in that case, can we say that the case that we said before is a support for Rava? Again, in the first version, we brought it as a question. Now we're bringing it as a support. The Shavin Shem Nevel Umumma Ima Shizemen Amochon. Now consider the Bechor. Again, when it was still in the womb, it was still edible because it didn't have a dusha of a Bechor yet. Once it was born, then it was Nidcha, because now it's a Bechor. And then you show it to a Chacham and it becomes Mutter. However, Amar Abayi, Tamer of Safra, no, that's not a proof to going to Yasri, Dayani Hasam. Again, we could talk about that the Dayanim are sitting over there, and therefore it never had a, Cheskas Isser in the first place. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, "Hoya oicho ba'anovim v'hoisir." If a person was eating grapes and he left over, he had some leftover. The helon lagag lasisman smoking. He brings them up to the roof, intending to make raisins out of them. The ta'anim, or he was eating figs v'hoisir and he had some leftover. The helon lagag lasisman groger. So he brings them up to the roof, having in mind to make groigris of them. Lo yoichamehen. So now, on Shabbos, so on Yom Tov, so Rashi explains, the point is, even though he was eating them already, you would think maybe he doesn't need hazmana, but nevertheless, now that he brought them up to the roof, nevertheless, we still say that lo yoichamehen an shiyazmin, he's not allowed to eat them unless he designates before Shabbos or before Yom Tov that he plans to eat them. The same thing applies to pears over chavushin and quinces, which are kind of small fruit resembling apples. Over shalkom in it. No, quinces is more like an apple. Over shalkom in it pears and with other and over shalkom in it pears and other kinds of fruit. Tosfos, and this Gemara is also in Shabbos. Rashi explains what the chiddush, what is the Tana need to list us all the different kinds of fruit. The point is, groigris and tzimukin, particularly, those more than any other, while they're drying, are not really edible. On the other hand, pears and chavushim are a little more edible while they're drying, so you would think maybe you don't need hazmana. Nevertheless, though, we're still saying that the same din applies to them. Anyway, so the Gemara says, hey chidomi. So now let's consider what's the scenario. If on Shabbos itself they're suitable to eat, if before Shabbos began they were already suitable, lamalei hazmana, then what do you need hazmana? And if at the beginning of Shabbos they're not yet suitable to eat, they're not completely dry, ki azmin lahu mayavi, then who cares if he's mazmin them? The fact is they're not edible yet. So hazmana, so Rashi says it would be like doing hazmana on wood or stones. That's not something that people are normally going to eat. So what's the scenario? So you're going to say maybe the case is that Bein HaShmoshes, he didn't know yet whether they're suitable or not. It's a tircha for him to go up and see what state they're in yet. So he doesn't know. So he says, in case they're roy, I want to be able to eat them tomorrow. But the factors were saying, if he didn't do hazmana, since he didn't know, then we don't say that his das is on them. If that's what it is, but Rav Kahana said, mukta of this kind, groigris tzimukim, if it dried out, the ena baila makirinosa, and the owner doesn't know that it's dry, he didn't check it before Shabbos began, and now he discovers that it's dry enough now that at the beginning of Shabbos it was dry as well, mutter, such a thing as mutter. So you don't need, because the fact is, that so Rashi says, because when you took it up there to begin with, why were you mocked it? Because you wanted it to dry. So as soon as it became dry, then that's it. It becomes mutter right away. Then the hachonim of Oyoyim already took place. You don't need an actual, you don't need an actual hazmana for that, because it was already, the fact that you put it out of mind only for a certain purpose, once that purpose is completed, then it's mutter. This is where Rashi brings from Shiltus, Dura Bachoy Goin, who says just that. So what is the scenario? So again, what is the scenario where you would be able to eat it on Shabbos, but only if you did hazmona before Shabbos? Again, it can't be where they dried out, where you know they dried out before Shabbos, because of course you don't need hazmona. Can't be where they didn't dry out until after Shabbos began. Hazmona is not going to help. And if you're talking about you don't know one way or the other, then also as long as you find out on Shabbos that they were in fact dry before Shabbos, you don't need hazmona either. So obviously the case must be talking about by elimination where exactly the case we're talking about Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, where at the beginning of Shabbos they were dry, then at some point during Shabbos rain fell on them and they swelled up and now they became inedible again. Then on Shabbos they dried out. Now the Amit Ein Muktzah L'Malahu Hazmana. If you're going to tell me Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, what do you need Hazmana for? So they're doing that show that yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. The fact that for a while during Shabbos they were unavailable means that now if you wanted to be able to eat them on Shabbos, you need hazmana before Shabbos. So as Mara says, v'elamai yesh muktzah. So what are you going to say then? Yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, ki azmin lehu mai havi. So how does it help do hazmana? The fact of the matter is, you can't do hazmana before it became muktzah. Before hazmana, they were already ready to eat. The right. Issur came only later, so hazmana before Shabbos is not going to help you anyway. Yeah. The answer is, loy tzricha de achsu v'loy achsu. The answer is, rather, we can answer that the case is that before Shabbos, they were ready, but not completely. They were mostly dry, but not completely. So some people at that point will eat them. Some people still will not. Some people will wait till they're completely dry. Now the hazmana makes the difference. Asmin gali daifu. So if he does hazmana, then he demonstrates by that that he wants to that he wants to eat them. Loy asmin loy gali daifu. But if not, then not. So there's no proof from this braisa one way or the other about ein muktzah or yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, because the braisa is not talking about that scenario at all. Amar Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira says, Toshma, we can bring another proof, mipolin v'adoshin, from beans and lentils that we cook on Yom Tov. It's interesting, you know, usually Toshma is we bring from a Mishnah, a braisa, once in a while you have Toshma from a Pasuk. Here we have a Toshma from practical day-to-day experience. From what we do on Yom Tov, we cook beans and lentils on Yom Tov. The poilin va'adosh, and the ikra chazu lochus, but we cook them on Yom Tov. Beforehand, beina shmoshes, before you cook them, you could have chewed them raw. Rashi explains, as he does in a number of places in Shas, that the word kos means to chew something not in the normal way, to eat it raw, rather. So before you would have. Shadinu with data, once you put them in the pot, idchulahu. Now, as long as they're boiling in the pot, you can't eat them. So you were deichan them. Gomer v'shulayu chazalahu. And once they're finished cooking, then they're mutter. You don't say that yesh mukta lachatzi yomtev, and therefore they should be osir. So obviously, ein mukta. So the Gemara says, omalei abaya, v'litai meich. So according to your svara, that you're saying as long as the pot is cooking, it's considered mukta. Tikshulach kedetas da'alma. Never mind beans and peas and things like that. Ask about in general when you eat food on Friday night that was cooked. Dostam kedetas da'alma ben ashmoshes rois chesein. In general, pots of food for Shabbos are usually boiling when Shabbos comes in, ben ashmoshes, ula urta achlin aminayu, and yet we're able to eat them Friday night. See, and now we said before, ben ashmoshes is what's kedeya, whether something is mukta or not. If something is mut is also ben ashmoshes, it remains also for the whole Yom Tov, for the whole Shabbos. And yet we see we're allowed to eat pots of food. So obviously a pot of food boiling is not considered mukta. Ela, so rather, gomri, bide adam loikom and boilon. When you have something that's bide adam, that's in a person's control to do something with it, and to be able to fix it that day, then loikum and boilon, then there's no question. So there's no proof from the poilin v'adoshim, because if it's the yodai, you have the ability to decide to cook them or not, and once the pot is boiling, you could take it off the stove and cool it off, and the same thing would apply then to pots of food that are cooking at the beginning of Shabbos. They anyway have to be cooked enough to be able to eat them, because they have to be cooked k'maychol ben durasoi. One second. Okay, so anyway, so the point is, again, that when it's Bidei Adam, then there's no question that it's not considered Mukta Ben Hashmoshes, because you have it, the Adayim, to do something with it, to not cook it, or to take it off the stove, or whatever, as the case may be. Kikam and Boilam, Gomri, Bidei Shemayim, the whole question is, when, for example, you have the Greger Timukim, where it depends on the weather, it depends on the sun, and it's not in your hand, so now the question is whether, in fact, it would be Mukta. Now, in the end, the Gemara leaves the question open, whether yesh mukta lachti Shabbos or ein mukta lachti Shabbos. There are Rishonim, for example, the Itur, who say we need to be machmer on it. On the other hand, most Rishonim say no, since it's an Isur mukta, which is only the Rabbanon, therefore we can be makel on it. And the halacha, therefore, is ein mukta lachti Shabbos, which, among other things, for example, the Rashba describes a case which is brought in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if, for example, now, if you have a candle that was lit, that a lamp or whatever that was lit, Bein HaShemashos, of course it remains Mukta for the whole Shabbos, even if it went out. But what if you have, let's say, a lamp that was lit in the middle of Shabbos? Now, you could have it was done B'Shoigig, let's say a person forgotten lit it, or you could have where it was lit B'Heter, for example, for a sick person. Once it goes out, you will be allowed to move it because Ein Mukta L'Chatzi Shabbos. Because Ein Mukta L'Chatzi Shabbos. An interesting one that they talk about in this connection is the question, what about wet laundry? What if you have laundry that was wet before Shabbos? Are you allowed to, or would you be allowed to on Shabbos once it dries out? Would you be allowed to take it and wear it? So some of the poskim discuss that maybe taka, based on what we're saying over here, bidei adam versus bidei shemayim, there might be a difference between whether you have it hanging on a clothesline versus in the dryer. In the dryer would be bidei adam, would be gomer bidei adam, versus when you have it on the clothesline would be bidei shemayim. Not all of the poskim agree with that. Another distinction, but on the other hand, many of them say, for example, the Moshe, I think, talks about this. If you had a reasonable expectation that it was going to be dry on Shabbos, then yes, it would be mutter to take it. Then it would be mutter to take it down on Shabbos after it dries out and wear it. But there are a few different opinions about it. So it's something to ask the Shiloh what your local Rav would hold.
Yeah, you get laundry out of a dryer.
Right. Keep in mind also, but when it comes to taking it out of the dryer, sometimes you have dryers that have a light that turns on when you open them. That's a whole different issue.
Or some kind of sensor.
That's a whole different issue. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about where there's not that.
Sure.
But it was wet at the beginning of Shabbos. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.